Thank you, Dan, and thanks for everyone showing up today. So I'm going to be talking about the effect of irrigation rate on urea incorporation. And when I'm talking about urea incorporation, how deep it needs to be and how much water needs to be applied to reduce the amount of volatilization that you see. So ammonium volatilization usually has been recorded anywhere between 20 and 40% of the nitrogen you apply. So just with those numbers, you're already starting to lose a pretty significant amount of the nitrogen that you're applying as urea. However, there are instances where losses are greater than 50%, and there's even recorded instances up to 80% of your nitrogen being lost as volatilization. Now, volatilization isn't important when you incorporate it, it's just when your urea is sitting on the surface. So whether you mechanically incorporate it, use irrigation to incorporate it, or if you're lucky enough to have the right amount of rainfall, you can incorporate it that way also. Now in the Columbia Basin, where we're from in Oregon, most of the nitrogen that is being applied goes through fertigation, through the irrigation system. However, not everyone applies it this way, depending on when you get irrigation, and so people are still top dressing in our area, as well as other places around the United States and the world where you don't have fertigation, so top dressing your urea is still a common practice. Now, there's very little information on kilograms of nitrogen lost as ammonium per hectare in undisturbed environments. You do have chamber methods in the lab, and you also have chambers that get put out in the field. However, both of those methods, you're altering the environment. And so it hasn't been until recently that you have these methods where you're not disturbing the environment as a whole and you're able to collect ammonia loss out in a field condition and compute it back to kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. There's also been very little research done on the amount of irrigation that you need to apply to incorporate your urea to stop volatilization. The thing that's always been told to growers is about 12.5 millimeters, which is about a half inch, needs to be applied, but you start to look at the research and no one's actually compared a string of irrigation rates and shown that that is actually true. So that was kind of where we were heading with this is, you know, there's a lot of people saying this, let's see what's going on. And what actually sparked our interest in this was we did a grass seed study in the fall of 2009 on Kentucky bluegrass, and it was actually a product comparison. And on this graph here, on our first y-axis here, we have nitrogen lost as ammonia as percent of nitrogen applied. And we have the days after we applied the fertilizer, the days after application on our X. And you can see that after we applied our fertilizers, they started to immediately lose ammonia. And at the end, you had a nice, they differed from one another pretty nicely, with urea losing about 16%, the ammonium sulfate about 6%, and the Agritain treated urea at about 4% total nitrogen loss. Now, this is good data, and I'd love to talk about it, but what I'm really talking about is irrigation data up here. And so the thing that happened during this study is that we had some precipitation events. And so you can see precipitation on our second y-axis here in millimeters, and then these bars here represent the precipitation that occurred on those certain days. Now, up until day four, we could actually still see the urea prills, the Agritain-coated urea, and the ammonium sulfate still on the surface. And so this is showing us that we didn't have enough moisture in the soil to melt down our prills and for hydrolysis to start happening. So we know hydrolysis was happening to a certain extent because we did see ammonia losses. However, the presence of those prills shows us that there wasn't complete hydrolysis happening. Now, we had a small rain event on 4 days after application here of about a half a millimeter, and that was able to fully melt the prills, and hydrolysis was really able to crank up. And you can see that here, where the trajectory of all three of the products changes after day four. And that is because more hydrolysis is happening, we're having more ammonia that is available for loss, and so we're seeing that loss. Now, what interested us was on the fifth day, after everything was melted down, we got 9 millimeters of precipitation, followed that by that on day six, with close to 6 millimeters of precipitation, and yet we still saw loss after these times on all three products. And so that got us to thinking, why were we still seeing loss after, you know, the prescribed amount, 12.5 millimeters, but we're still seeing loss, so we decided to do the irrigation study based on this data. Now, this study we ran from March 9th to April 2nd, 2010, so earlier this spring, and we did it on a 50-hectare winter wheat field, which was center pivot irrigated. And prior to us going out there, we pre-irrigated the field with an inch of water just to make sure that, number one, we weren't going to kill the grower's wheat crop, and second of all, to get uniformity in the field with soil moisture levels. And then after we, immediately after we pre-irrigated that, we went out there and applied 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in our plots as urea. And then immediately after the application of urea, we had the center pivot program. So we had these six irrigation rates, and we were able to randomly irrigate according to that around the circle. And so here's the six irrigation rates that we chose: 0, 1.25, 3.8, 7.6, 11.4, and 21.6 millimeters. And immediately after we ran the pivot over it and irrigated it, we set up our ammonia collecting devices, which were the modified passive flux method developed by Wes Wood. And this is what this image is here, and what it consists of a mast here, and it has five samplers right here, which consist of glass tubes with a nozzle to restrict flow into the system, and those are coated with oxalic acid to scrub the ammonia out. This system also has a wind vane on the top to make sure that the tubes are always facing into the direction of the wind. And since it gets windy up in the Columbia Basin, we actually had to install a tripod here that did not interfere with the movement because we kept snapping them off at the base. So this is the data that we got from this study. And this is the same axis as the last graph I showed, with the nitrogen loss as ammonia on our Y as percent nitrogen applied, and then days after application on our X. And the first thing that really jumps out on this graph to us is the amount of loss that we did see. So when we weren't applying any irrigation, or when we just ran the pivot over it really quick with that 1.25 millimeters, we were showing losses of anywhere from 50 to 60% of our nitrogen gone in 10 days. We noticed that when you started applying higher irrigation rates, you were able to begin to lower the total amount of ammonia loss. And so when we were applying 3.8 millimeters, we saw about 30% nitrogen loss. And then when we did an even higher rate with 7.6, we saw about 15%. And then the higher rates of 11.4 and 21.6 millimeters, we saw rates ranging anywhere from 2 to 5%. So there was a significant amount of decrease when you started to apply this irrigation. Now, when we look at the statistical differences here, we see that about 7.6 millimeters of irrigation is about where we noticed total ammonia loss was reduced with irrigation. Now, we noticed also that unlike the fall grass seed data, there is no change in slope when we're looking at the amount of loss during the first 10 days. And so when we look at day 2 to day 10, all of this is linear loss. There is no change in slope or trajectory like we saw in the fall grass seed. So the day after we applied the urea and we went out to the no irrigation plots, you couldn't even see it out there. Everything had been melted. All the perils had been melted, and so hydrolysis was able to happen even though there was no irrigation. So if we would have done this plot, or this, if we would have done this study without pre-irrigating, you would have imagined that the no irrigation would have lost a little less just because the perils wouldn't have melted. But since we had needed to water the field up, we saw an increase in ammonia loss because the perils were able to melt and hydrolyze at the no irrigation rate. Oh, and the pH of the soil at this site was a 6.5, and the average soil pH or soil temperature was about 7.8 degrees Celsius. So this was about the same temperature and pH of the previous fields that we did the grass seed study on. Now this is just looking at days 2 to 8 after our urea application, because during those days all losses were linear, and after day 8 is when everything started to flatline out and you lost very little urea after day 8. And so if we look at just day 2 to 8, when most of the loss was happening, we can further differentiate these out and get a little bit more differences between the irrigation rates. And similar to the last graph, we have nitrogen losses, ammonia as percent of nitrogen applied on our Y, and days after application on our X. And next to each of the irrigation rates is the equation for the trend line for each of these. So you can notice that when you start applying irrigation, you immediately start to reduce your daily loss of ammonia. We also see that when you compare these linear regressions between these lines, you start to see differences that weren't seen when you were just comparing total loss. So the biggest difference is there is a difference between the 11.4 and 2.46 millimeter irrigations when you compare them against the 7.6. So down here, it's taking about 11.4 millimeters of irrigation to reduce your daily loss during the high days after application in order to reduce the amount of loss. And so that is in line with what has been said before, with about 12.5 millimeters of irrigation needs to be used to incorporate urea to minimize loss. Now, this graph here is the total amount of ammonia loss versus irrigation rate. And so we have nitrogen lost as ammonia as percent of nitrogen applied on our Y, and irrigation rate in millimeters. And since this was the first irrigation of the season, pressures and all that weren't quite up to mid-growing season standards, so we did have some flux in our irrigation rates. But when you fit a line to this curve, or to our plots, we get this model up here, and we got a pretty nice R-squared over 0.9. And with this, you start to see that, like the previous data, that once you start applying irrigation, you really start to reduce your amount of loss. And according to the model, at about 14.6 millimeters, you reduce loss by about 90%. And after this point, you kind of have diminishing returns, so you can keep applying irrigation, but you're going to reduce your loss by a lot less than before that time. Now, we collected wheat samples at 23 days after application, and we ran those for wheat nitrogen, and we can see that here. And you can see with wheat percent nitrogen here and irrigation rate on our X, and you can see that as you increase irrigation rate, you reduce the amount of loss, and between zero irrigation and 21.6, you have a full percent nitrogen difference between those. And you can really see that the amount of loss directly correlates to your nitrogen percentage. And the picture on our right is just the field that we did 2 months after application, and we have our plots here, and so that's kind of what it looks like. And in conclusions, we see that ammonia loss can represent a very large percent of your nitrogen, ranging from 3 to 60%. Irrigation is able to lower your lower your loss by anywhere from 11 to 95%, with about 7.6 millimeters to reduce total loss. And then according to the model, we have about 14.6 millimeters to reduce loss by 90%. So that old adage of about 12.5 millimeters is about right. And I think I'm out of time, but we might have questions after in Brian Hopkins' spot. So
yes, you are through.
All right.